Prime Minister Justin Trudeau evoked never-before-used emergency powers to quell a freedom convoy in the January of 2022. Now, the result was the breakup of hundreds of truckers and protesters on foot who had gathered in objection to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the trial of the leaders of the Canadian Freedom Convoy and the effect the outcome will have on future protests against the government. Let's get started. The Freedom Convoy was the largest and most expensive anti-vaccine protest in the world, gathering the attention from not only the Canadian Parliament, but the ripple effect caused a similar protest around the globe. International correspondent Roxana Solano joins us now to bring us up to speed on the protesters who are now on trial.
Scotty, the 22-day protest blocked major roads and disrupted billions of dollars worth of international trade. While there was an outpouring of support, the protesters are now on trial to decide if it was freedom of speech or unlawful assembly. There were reports at one point there were 50,000 vehicles outside Parliament in Ottawa. This disrupted daily life for many, though supporters could be seen along major highways and roadways and overpasses as more truckers filled into the city. At one point, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked emergency powers, a move getting him a lot of criticism for excessively abusing his powers and freezing the truckers' bank accounts.
Occupying streets, harassing people, breaking the law, this is not a peaceful protest. This is about keeping Canadians safe, protecting people's jobs, and restoring confidence in our institutions.
On top of this, U.S. crowdfunding platform GoFundMe suspended access to more than $4 million raised by Freedom Convoy 2022. According to the campaign's page on GoFundMe, the funds were supposed to cover the cost of fuel first and hopefully food and lodgings for the haulers to ease the pressure of their arduous task. In a video, campaign organizer Tamara Leach told supporters not to panic.
It's really unfortunate what is happening here.
She was arrested while protesting, and now she's on trial. Leach and Chris Barber, a trucking company owner, were the voice of the protesters during the negotiations. Now both face charges of mischief, obstructing police, counseling others to commit mischief, and intimidation.
It is within everyone's right to speak out and stand up for freedom. And that is what our convoy is about.
During the trial, prosecutors played hours of footage Leach and Barber posted to their Freedom Convoy 2022. The duo used the social media page to chronicle every moment of the protest. While there was no violence at the protest, both are facing up to 10 years in prison. I'm Roxana Solano for 360 View. Back to you, Scotty.
Very interesting, Roxana. Thank you for covering. So joining me now to discuss is David Henry, host of the Crazy Canuck Trucking Podcast. Thank you, David, for joining me. I want to start off with, why do you think this Freedom Convoy and the protest in Canada was one of the largest grassroots protests in the history of Canada? What made it so popular, and did this call to action work?
Well, I think people were sick and tired of mandates. People were tired of lockdowns, tired of politicians just trying to dictate to us. And it was started, like you said, at grassroots level. And whether you know, no matter who you are or what political stripe you are, people were tired of what was going on. And they were working or they were not working. Didn't matter where you were from. People are just tired. And so a lot of times some things like this can't be spoken out loud, but then you get a group together and there's strength in numbers, right?
Strength in numbers, because out of that protest, we now have almost 2 years later, a trial going on. The most highly publicized trial going up against Tamara Leach and Chris Barber. Why the two of them?
Well, they became the leaders They were not the leaders to start with. And they became the face of the protest that was going on. They were the ones behind raising the money, especially Tamara. She was asked to, she came in later to the start of the convoy, and she was asked to help raise money. And so she took it and ran with it. And Chris Barber was, as far as I understand, an acquaintance of hers or somebody. They started working together anyway, and they were the ones holding the purse strings.
The activist and the trucking company owner have been accused of mischief, obstructing police and counseling others to commit mischief and intimidation, all when they organized a freedom convoy with truckers to shut down the streets of Ottawa for 22-day protests. All of this began in response to the mandatory vaccines for cross-border truck drivers in the early 2022. Now, in addition to this, truckers parking their rigs on Parliament Hill, there were thousands of others who turned out on foot. Is this an accurate portrayal of what they did?
There was others involved, but they were the main ones because they were controlling the money and became the face of the protest.
Are there others being held accountable or on trial for the same thing?
It wasn't just the cross-border stuff that was going on. That had been going on for a while already. I think people were just getting tired of it, and it was getting tougher and tougher to survive. Economically, everybody took a big hit. Emotionally and psychologically, people were suffering badly. And, you know, Tamara and Chris were the main face of the protest. They were the ones involved, but you can't have something this big with only two people running it. There is definitely more people. But because they put themselves out there so much, they basically put themselves in the line of fire. And I don't know how many others are going to be charged or have been charged, but there are others that were involved.
Do you think this is more a political trial?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's absolutely, this is all politics. This is all about control and power, you know, as far as, like, I mean, it's kind of a Canadian thing, I guess, to have something so big going on and so much worldwide press, and what did they get charged with? Mischief. Like, really, I think it's silly. If the Prime Minister had met with the convoy or the protest organizers, a lot of this may not have happened. It was simply inaction on the government's part.
Did you hear of any eyewitness accounts of what happened to the truckers during the protest by law enforcement, which you would consider to be criminal on their side?
Until the latter days, there wasn't a lot of trouble from law enforcement. Law enforcement was trying to help keep the peace. A lot of them, when you look back at video and stuff that was being broadcast, there's a lot of law enforcement that was behind this. And, you know, there's the odd case of law enforcement taking things too far, but it was very rare until the very end. And then they weren't wearing any badges, they weren't wearing any insignia, and they were trying to goad the protesters into fighting back and creating a big problem. And they were never successful at doing that. All of the protesters there, it was a very Canadian protest. They did not fight back. There was no fatalities or, there was a couple of fatalities from people, but it's hard to say whether it was strictly protest-related or pre-existing conditions, but by and large, law enforcement was not a big problem for the protesters.
David, 22 days is actually a long time for a protest of this size. Do you feel the Freedom Convoy was taken over by extremists or outside agitators? When did you actually start to hear stories of violence and other destruction breaking out?
Yeah, it was taken over by extremists. And that's what many of us were afraid of, was that it was going to devolve into something ridiculous. And there was a ton of political pressure from the Prime Minister's office and from others that were trying to incite a riot, trying to make things worse. Anytime you see people wearing a mask, you knew they were not part of the freedom thing. You know, every one of them that didn't want to be identified, they were not part of the freedom thing. Because that was a big thing for the freedom protesters, was to show their face and to stand up for their own rights. And it started. There's a lot of outside forces, and I'm really proud of all the protesters in that way, that they did not react to those outside forces.
Do you think Ottawa law enforcement was expecting this large of a crowd? Were they prepared?
I can't speak for them, but there was the Prime Minister was trying to tell people it was just a small fringe minority of people with unacceptable views, and that there's only going to be a couple of dozen people. But if anybody that was following along on the media and the chats and seeing the protest convoy rolling from west to east, they knew this was not going to be something small. Like, if they actually thought this was going to be something small, they are not any part of reality. Because I know I live just a few miles away from the Trans-Canada Highway, and there was vehicles passing by for hours. You know, it was not a small thing, and I'm 1,400 miles away from where the protest actually happened.
Thank you, David Henry. Stay right there, because after the break, we're going to talk about how the truckers' lives have changed since the convoy.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Эстонии вернулись на родину победителями. Вместе с ними возвращалась жизнь.
The Bronze Soldier Monument was erected in 1947 in the Estonian capital by the Soviet authorities. Originally built above a burial site of troops' remains, it's a memorial to the soldiers who gave their lives in World War II.
Это была советская традиция. В городах устанавливали памятники советским воинам, погибшим в Великой Отечественной войне.
In 2007, the Estonian government decided to relocate the monument from the city center.
Уже была спланирована правительством провокация против памяти о тех воинах, которые освобождали Эстонию от фашизма.
The move divided the population. Estonia's large Russian-speaking community strongly opposed it, and intense rioting broke out in Tallinn. These have since become known as the Bronze Night Riots.
Люди принесли цветы и просто стояли. Они ничего не делали.
Бьют народ, просто крутят, не жалея никого.
Мы жили очень спокойно в Эстонии, а теперь я считаю, что это правительство доводит до такого состояния.
We Welcome back to 360 View. I'm your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. And we are welcoming back David Henry, host of the Crazy Canuck Trucking Podcast, to discuss the Canadian trucker trials. David, I want to start back off with when Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked federal emergency laws, something that hasn't happened for 50 years. Was the decision excessive and unjust?
Absolutely. Absolutely unjust. Absolutely just a political move. He was scared of what was happening because this was obviously not just a small minority of people. This was a frustration level from all walks of life and all types of people. And it was illegal. And after he invoked it, then there was an investigation started right away because that's part of the checks and balances. And he realized it was not going to end well for him. So he had to terminate it fairly suddenly as well.
Were the truckers representing other industries which did not have the means for a public protest against COVID policies?
Absolutely. And this was not just, people always call it a trucker convoy, but it wasn't really so much. There was a lot of different people involved in that. There's people in cars, there's people in pickup trucks, there were farmers, there was a vast cross-section of people there. The trucks take up a lot of room, but there is a whole lot more than just truck drivers there. And there was many, many people. And when Trudeau invoked his emergency act, that united even more people behind the protest because they, even diehard liberals saw this and they're just like, uh-oh, this is not going to end well.
Well, that's even the bigger question because now we have this trial going on and we've seen what's happened in the United States in regards to January 6th and people who were protesting. What do you think the impact will be and the outcome of these trials on future protest?
That's a good question. I really hope that this protest has shown regular people, grassroots people, people of all walks of life. I hope it has shown to them that this is not something to be scared of. I was not at the protest myself, but there's things I don't agree with a protest, but there's also a lot of things I do agree with. And it's going to be interesting to see how the trial works out because, in my opinion, the charges are not warranted for the actions that were taken. I don't agree with everything that Tamara and Chris did, for sure. But I hope people realize that speaking your voice, standing up and speaking out, is something that we should continue to do and not to be afraid of it.
Is the Canadian government treating the trucking industry differently since these protests happened? You know, in regards to policies, agendas, how have they handled them moving forward?
I haven't seen any differences in the way the government has been treating us. We are always kind of it was pretty bad during COVID. It was really bad during all the lockdowns. And even though Trudeau had said that we are an essential service, we were not treated as such. And so there hasn't been any improvement, but I don't think it's gotten any worse. And, you know, most of us were still out there working. And like I said, there's a lot of different occupations that were at the protest. So we're in an industry right now that is taking a lot of hits. And I wish the government would be more on our side. But there are some good people that are trying hard to work with us, and I'm thankful for that.
Okay, I need you to be a little bit more specific. What are some of those hits that you feel like the trucking industry has taken, especially post-COVID? And you say there's some, but why isn't the government working together with the truckers to fix some of those problems?
Well, they make some token shows of things, but they're not really doing anything to change the help the life of truckers. there are some things that are being done. The parking issue is huge and not getting any better. They're working on plans that would be sufficient for maybe 30 years ago. You know, we're way behind in facilities for truck drivers. The rest stops, the travel centers and things like that in Canada are in horrible shape, and there's no controls on them. Like, why should we have to deal with such unsanitary conditions, and everybody just seems to get away with it? And then, you know, we're under a lot of controls as far as our hours of service, and you know, we need to have some relief. We need to have some better fuel prices. You know, it'd be nice to get the tax breaks that the railways get, but we don't get any of that. You know, and we pay for all the roads through our fuel taxes, and you know, we don't see any benefits of that.
How do you feel the truckers of Canada are treated by their government compared to countries around the world, and how they treat the trucking industry?
I only know a few other countries, so I don't know what many of them are like. I think Canada and the U.S. are fairly similar. I think if you look at some of the European communities, the labor rights are much stronger in some of those places, and drivers aren't allowed to be abused quite the same way. But I think there's always room for improvement, and I just wish we could just get better at treating people and taking care of their mental health, no matter what occupation they're in.
So then how much of the Canadian economy is reliant upon the trucking industry?
100%. Nothing happens. Nothing moves except by a truck, except babies. The only thing that's not delivered by a truck is a baby. And when you look at everything, whether it's crops coming off of a field, going into a place where they can make bread, or steel, coke coming out of mines, going into steel, or whatever it is, everything at some point in its life is on a truck. And if the trucker shut down, I think there's 2.5 days that people would have before everything just goes completely haywire without the trucks. It's 100%.
Which begs the question, are Canadians actually free?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's a sliding rule. Depends on your perspective, I guess. Not as free as when I was younger. We have still, I think we're still one of the most free countries. But our current government is trying hard to make us communist and control everything. And we'll see. We'll have to keep standing up for ourselves, and encourage everybody everywhere. Stand up for yourself and don't be bullied. Don't be pushed around by your governments.
How will protests against vaccine and mask mandates be different if the Canadian government tries to impose them in the future?
If these controls come back in, nothing good is going to come of that. People are already mentally and psychologically damaged from the last one. And I don't think on either side of the political spectrum it's going to work out well. And I hope that this stuff doesn't come back, because nothing good will come of this.
Do you think there will be any future arrests and prosecutions from the Freedom Convoy?
I hope that everybody that's been charged, that's the final number. I can't see them coming up with any more. I mean, in my opinion, they're reaching very hard to come up with some charge, and all they can come up with mischief and inciting others to mischief. Like, I still think that's It's just my opinion. I think it's just so silly that that's the best they can come up with. You know, they do an investigation and all they can say is they were mischievous. Like, that just seems wrong. So I can't see them. I don't think there'd be the political will to do any more than that, because if they go after more than just Chris and Tamara, I think it'll be the end of the beginning of the end for those politicians.
Thank you, David Hendry. You can hear more from him as the host of the Crazy Canuck Truckin' podcast. You know, I find it ironic that the Canadian government and the Prime Minister have continued to take a hard stance against a gathering of their own people who are just looking for freedom to choose something in regards to their own health. It is never good when the government finds itself on the opposite of freedom, the one entity which those in elected offices are actually sworn to protect. They even chose to take it to the next level by making examples of the event's leaders. Now, the outcome of this trial is as much about the present situation as the future, as the example will be made in order to deter any future protest of a government order, both in Canada and abroad. This has been Scotty Nell Hughes on 360 View with the news you can use. Thanks for watching.